Ashby Crowder here with my co-host, Gary the Stable Guy. Together we host the Contemporary Christian Country Hour on 105.5 The Hive. We know it's only Sunday morning, but we've got just one question for you. Where the honey at?
Where the honey at?
These are the results for the final week of the Ray Lewis League. Team Hud the Stud eliminated Big Red Bell's playoff dreams 132-108. Atlantic City Knockouts defeated Sandusky Shower 128-83. Commissioner Purple Rain's season was extinguished by Siren House 98-83. Top scorer of the week, Team Two Knotted Ballin defeated Team Fernie 175-99. The close call of the week featured This Train's Bound for Glory, taking down number one seed Anal Fisters, 106-105.
Yeah, yeah.
Jay Moneybags, defending champion, found his way into the playoffs, defeating Johnsonville Champ, 109-73. That does it for the Ray Lewis League, and I send it to my esteemed colleague, Gary the Stable Guy.
Now, it was a quiet battle for El Chupacabra, who came in with a 142.48 victory over Cole Roll, Mr. Andy Martin, who only put up 80.54 points. But due to injury this year, we must declare him an exception. Then in the league, to finish and make their way into the playoffs, it was Mr. Solo Dolo, 147.52 victory. Mr. Solo Dolo finally won after losing four straight, beating Smoking Jay Cutler 136.6. And the Bonafex Trees was victorious and has won the regular season in the Vampire League after Garlic Jackson, in a very witty move.
Cunning indeed.
Cunning and smart, honest.
Clever.
Very clever. Made a move and took his players out mid-stride and lost the game 91-76, thereby giving him a matchup against the winner of this week's marquee matchup of the week. That was Z Hud the Stud, who confirms his playoff picture with a 124.64 victory over Aw Sad Vampire 90.28. That's Jackie Daytona. He ends his year with a losing record, but hopefully with some good, good memories.
You know it sticks in his craw, too.
So let me pass it back over to my pappy and say a good to-do to you all for the playoffs.
As we send it over to Quinn and Daniel, we here at the Conservative Christian Country Hour say ciao bello and ciao bacio. Before we get into today's episode, I would like to let the listeners know that this podcast is brought to you by Papia. Papia is proud to present the new Pinkaholic line of dog harnesses and accessories for the dog in your life. Whether you have a teacup Yorkie or a Komodo dragon-sized Bernese Shepherd who put your bowel movements to shame, your pooch deserves to be slathered in pink so fabulous you'll want to wear it yourself. Papia Pinkaholic. Get in the zone. Let me tell you something else about the color pink. In 1973, the CIA began experimenting with various pigments harvested from rare earth materials scavenged from around the world at exorbitant cost to U.S. taxpayers in an attempt to produce a pink tone that could absorb all surrounding light, effectively becoming invisible. They called it Operation Null Pink. They produced 47 gallons of it, then shipped it from a lab in Fairbanks, Alaska to the U.S. Navy headquarters in Annapolis, Maryland. But the shipment never arrived. The CIA scuttled the project and the 47 gallons of Null Pink were never recovered, at least according to the official logs. So unless your dog is wearing an invisible collar, I don't really give a shit what kind of pink it's wearing. Papia, Pinkaholic Dog Cups. Well, Quinn, speaking of invisible, we've just finished the regular season in both the Ray Lewis League and the Vampire League, and there are several teams across both platforms that are invisible as we look at the playoff picture. The playoff brackets have been revealed for both leagues,
We're going to reveal for the first time the bracket for the Fatal 4-Way League. So we got a lot to cover today, a lot of numbers. What do you got batting leadoff? What do you want to cover, baby?
Daniel, it is great to see you. I think the first thing we got to jump
in. Good.
I think, you know, it's turtleneck season, you know? I happen to have, by definition, won the league in the Vampire League for the regular season.
Congratulations. First time in the playoffs?
I don't think it's my first time in the playoffs.
Either way, it's been a minute. And you're in contention.
Good that we can't remember if I've ever made the playoffs in the Vampire League.
You couldn't even remember all the people in the leagues in last week's episode. So I'd say this is maybe a quarter step ahead of where we were at last week's pace.
Exactly. So, Daniel, this week we're starting with the Super League, the Fatal 4-Way Championship. Daniel, the 2023 Super League has now commenced with our tournament. It's a 14-team tournament, and we're going to end up in a Fatal 4-Way Championship in Week 17, decided in just a, you know, blaze of glory. Last year, our winner, Jay Moneybags, is back, and let me tell you, he's not coming in as the number one. He's coming in stealthy in the middle of the pack. Let's break it down, Daniel. What's the Super League by definition?
Sure. A lot of people might ask, what makes this league so super? Can't you just hear Kurt saying that? I can hear it. I can hear him saying it. But let me tell you why it's special. We get an opportunity to bring all the teams across two leagues together for one battle lasting 3 weeks, culminating in a four-way for the ages. We get opportunities for teams that have been eliminated from playoff picture to have their seasons continue to mean something. And Quinn, it's very similar to your QPC projections. The way we've lined up this Fatal 4-Way in previous years has presented itself with a worthy champion each time, and I expect us to do much the same this go around.
Correct. In 2021, we had 6 teams in the Vampire League and 12 teams in the Ray Lewis League, and we had a 13% bump in the scoring for the Ray Lewis League. As a way to ask, is there a way for us to compete all of us at once? Is there a coefficient that we could find that would give us an answer that would level the playing field for our two leagues? And in essence, we found one the first year. We worked on it the second year. We found a second coefficient for the 2022 season, and that was a 7.7% bump for the Ray Lewis League in scoring. Obviously, reasons why do they get to score more points? Well, there's more team owners in the league, so obviously there's larger amount of roster spots being filled. There's more, you know, more of the watered down scoring is done. Another way to put it is, for instance, the best player in the Ray Lewis League scored 124.99 points on average each game. The first and second place in the Vampire League, Zach and Chase, in scoring this year, averaged more points per game than our leader in the Vampire or in the Ray Lewis League. So that's a great reason to show that there's going to be a coefficient put together. Now, due to injuries, the coefficient is lowering again this year. It's going to be a 6.1% bump. So it's lowered again because of injuries in the Vampire League and lack of scoring. And I'm going to include one piece of information, Daniel. I've excluded Sam Score from this coefficient this year. So because of his lack of putting a lineup, it just really whacked off my statistics. So
got whacked off big, good, and hard. Yeah,
it did. And another way to look at it too is our top average game this year, if it was 130 to 124 in essence, leaves us with about a 4% bump. But when we take in the other coefficients from the past, we end up with a 6.1% bump for this year. And I think we're getting closer and closer to dialing in something that's great. So we have recalculated the high scores for each team in the Ray Lewis League. And now we have ranked these 14 teams combining the Vampire League and the Ray Lewis League together. And Daniel, we're here to announce the bracket. As you know, when I dropped the episode in everybody's chats in the leagues, I dropped a picture of the bracket. So if you'd like to pull that up right now, you can take a look at it. Daniel, we're looking at it right now. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what this bracket looks like?
Yep. So we got 14 teams across the two leagues. Any team managers that had teams in both leagues had the option to choose which team they wanted to represent their flag in the Super League. For those teams that had crossover between the two leagues, Zach and Andy chose their Ray Lewis teams. Chase, Daniel, Quinn, and Steven chose the Vampire teams. The remaining members of the Ray Lewis League obviously sent for their one team. And as we look at it, the top teams on the board are both represented by the Ray Lewis League, even though they're getting a statistical bump. We got Team 2 Naughty Ballin, propelled in large part by 175-point outing in Week 14 in the one seed, surpassing a team that was in the pole position all year long in Ray Lewis League. We're talking Team Anal Fisters' Derek Babb. These two teams secured byes in Week 1 of the Super League tournament. Following teams wrapped up in the 3 and 4 spots respectively, Mr. Solo Dolo from the Vampire League, El Chuper Cupra from the Vampire League as well. So while Jesse missed out on the playoffs completely, he locked in a 4 seed. His reward, he gets the number 13 seed, Team Siren House, Andy's representative from the Ray Lewis League. Chase matches up against the aforementioned Skin Cannon. We'll see if his team can come together at the end of the season and make up for that lull post-Foxfest. In the 5 and 6 seeds, we have Smokin', Jay Cutler from the Vampire League, Bonafex Trees, 6 seed from the Vampire League. Another instance where a team that missed the playoffs seeded pretty highly in Smokin', Jay Cutler, Bonafex Trees. Quinn, you've got a shot at the Vampire League and the Super League championships. Mm-hmm. You guys match up against Team Sandusky Shower, Team Johnsonville Brats, Johnsonville Chumps, Tristan Weaver. 8-9. Some might say this is one of the most competitive games in round one. We have former Vampire Garlic Jackson going head to head against HUD the Stud. HUD the Stud 06, technically the team from the Ray Lewis League. And closing things out on the other side of the bracket, two fantastic, lifelong, good friends, Jay Moneybags versus the Vamp. He's got something else to play for after an underwhelming 6-8 finish in the Vampire League. So, Quinn, those are the matchups. What are your big takeaways as we head into week one of this Super League tournament?
Oh, I have some wonderful takeaways. First of all, congrats to Two Naughty Ball and the Anal Fisters for just battling and scoring high numbers, high scores this year. You know, if I just kept it again with the original scoring, Scotty and Derek would have finished in 3rd and 5th place in the Vampire League in scoring just with their teams without, you know, with using the waiver wire and everything like that. So it's great to see they're going to have a bye. We'll be interested to see what they do in week 16, if they can make their way into the Fatal 4-Way tournament. And it's also another interesting feat that they both have a bye in this week 15 period. Anyway, they're not even competing in their own playoff spots. They're the two teams that get byes in the Ray Lewis League. I think that's something that they have accomplished. Congratulations to them. Daniel, there's only one battle in this Super League tournament this year that doesn't contain a team that's in the playoffs. And I think it's great that we have 6 other matchups minus our byes. There's 6 first round matchups and they're all Ray Lewis versus the Vampire League. That's just, again, how it fell this year, like it did last year, where there were so many competitions between the Vampire League and the Ray Lewis League. So
Battle lines have been drawn. It really feels like a season of the challenge.
Yeah, interleague play here. So I just want to start from our highest person in the room, and that's going to be Mr.
Chase.
Solo Dolo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Mr. Solo Dolo in 3rd. He's ranked 3rd. He's here at the bottom right of our bracket. He's going up against Skin Cannon. That's Sam. Sam's number 14 in our rankings. He had the lowest ranked in the Super League, and he had a great season at one point. Like we've said repeatedly, he just had trouble setting his lineup, and so hopefully he can set his keepers and he can build from that for next year. Mr. Solo Dolo himself struggled into 4th place, and he's one of the people in the first round of the Vampire League. Daniel, he's going up against me, the Bonafex Trees, in the Vampire League. The two of us are battling for a position to find our way into the championship. It's pretty neck and neck in those projections. And it's going to be a close matchup in the Vampire League. Sam over Chase. This is the same spot where Robbie sat last year. Uh-huh. The 14 spot made a Cinderella story run all the way to the finals and, you know, almost won the Fatal 4-Way on his way out of the Vampire League.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm pulling for the same type of luck from Skin Cannon. You know, his team, I mentioned it before, really took a dive post Foxfest. But who can forget that fateful showdown between the two defenses, won 3-2 that week. And while it really may have started a tailspin for him. We started to see a little bit more competence and micromanagement of the roster towards the end of the season. And you know that I love picking against Chase more than pretty much anything else. So I'm pulling for Skinny in this one.
Yeah, it would be a major upset if Chase puts up a dud and is not able to compete. Well, you know, there was not so much to do about El Chooper Cooper. You know, guys, if you're in the Ray Lewis League, El Chooper Cooper lost in week one against the Vampire, thereby having to give up anybody the Vampire wanted just at the very beginning of the season. He lost Patrick Mahomes, had to reshape his whole quarterback room, lost for an entire month or plus, and then turned it around with six straight wins, ended up with seven total, and he is the fifth place finisher this year in the Vampire League, one spot outside of the playoffs, but finished some of the highest points in the league. He was third in scoring the Vampire League. Interesting that we should note that Z-Hud the Stud, who is here in our ninth seed from the Ray Lewis League, represented himself. He actually finished first in scoring in the Vampire League, Daniel. But you faced him last week, and I think you saw something on the battlefield that made Zach not choose his Vampire team to go into the Super League tournament.
Yeah, it's like the freshman's got some shaky hands going into finals week here as we near the end of the first semester. Did an outstanding job doing the homework, doing the assignments all semester long. But the guy got a little bit of a coke problem towards the end of the year. And is that a metaphor? Is that literal? It's hard to say, but it's a metaphor. What we saw from Zach's team was maybe more smoke than fire throughout the season. And, you know, I think if this play backfires for him, a lot of people are going to be looking back at him and saying, what are you doing? But main reason he didn't do it, Justin Herbert on the IR, broken finger, doesn't have a quarterback as he heads to the playoffs in the Vampire League. So he had to pick a team that could fill an entire lineup. And that's exactly what he did by bringing his Ray Lewis team to town. And I can already kind of hear the naysayers, the Kurtz of the world saying, I don't understand this coefficient's helping the Ray Lewis team, but these Vampire teams sound like they're already the underdogs. Look, we said it 2 years ago. We reiterated it last year. We're not mathematicians. We're perfecting this. But we do have confidence in this formula, guys. The cream always rises to the top. Slovenian philosopher Slavoj Zizek said as much in his 1990 ruminations on what it means to be a human in a contemporary society. So keep that in mind before you start critiquing us for doing the work here. And that it takes us to the 5-12 matchup, Smoking Jay versus Johnsonville Chump.
Well, we got one last to talk about. No, it's just fine. We're pretty much there. It's just one last thing. It's El Chooper Cooper, number 5 in the Vampire League outside the playoffs. He's ranked number 4 going against the 13 seed Siren House Andy from the Ray Lewis League.
Who made the playoffs in the Ray Lewis League.
Ray Lewis League ranked number 5. So we've got 2 5 seeds right now playing each other from their respective leagues, but they're ranked here 4 and 13 in the Super League due to scoring over the season. So looking at
honestly, some great balance on this bracket.
Yeah, El Chooper Cooper versus Siren House. I mean, it could go anywhere because Daniel, you know, Siren House turned it around in the final week of the season, got himself into the playoffs. El Chooper Cooper is struggling to get it all the way in there and just fell short at the end. So it'll be interesting to see if El Chooper Cooper can just, you know, cannot get upset. Last year, we had several upsets in the first round. We had 2, I believe, if I remember correctly. Obviously, Turd Ferguson went on an upset, and it was our number 1 seed this year, Scotty Two Ballin, who started off his playoff push and his good season this year. He started off last year in the Super League, getting an upset. He was the 10 seed. He took out Skin Cannon and got his way, you know, almost found himself in the championship there. So,
yeah, you know, the guy showed his face at Foxfest, but he showed his mettle and determination throughout the season.
Yeah, he was just real proud of him, you know. So, Daniel, that does take us to our number 5 seed. That's Smoking Jay Cutler versus number 12, Johnsonville Champs. Smoking Jay, he was bottom of the league in the Vampire League, ranked 7th, just one spot from the end. and Johnsville champ, same thing. He's at the bottom of the league, ranked 12th. They were kind of buddies in the Ray Lewis League, Steven and Tristan. And so now they go up against each other. The Johnsville champs, you know, there's that moment when Steven and Tristan went up against each other in a loser league town for the rest of the year kind of match at the bottom of the league, that that mud bowl they had. And Steven was victorious and turned his year around and almost made the playoffs.
Two former champions resting largely on their laurels. Can they get one more taste of former glory and go back to the glory years for one more weekend matchup, you know?
Yeah, it's the and I think it's the only matchup we have this week in the Super League that doesn't involve a playoff team from either league, though.
And now we know, you know, quickly, we know that Smokin' Jay Cutler, Stephen Fox, is a big fan of cold brew. He's a big fan of the iced coffees. And Quinn, I believe you were telling me about this.
They sponsored the 5-12 matchup this week.
Were you telling me about a new cold brew you'd heard about?
Oh, correct, Daniel. I told you exactly about it. And it's Busy Organic Cold Brew, something I've started drinking this week. It's most cold brew can be overpriced and quite frankly, not that tasty. Okay. That's why two roommates, Alex and Andrew, brewed up an idea to start their own cold brew company. That was Busy Organic Cold Brew. So this started in their cramped apartment for the last 9 years, and they've strived to make their coffee better every day. And now they're proud to present Busy Organic Breakfast Blend Coffee Brew. So this Busy coffee is for busy people, Daniel. And Busy Organic Cold Brew is deliciously roasted cold brew coffee, micro brewed for 18 hours to yield the perfect extraction. And let me tell you about another perfect extraction. That's going to be the 5 versus the 12 matchup here this week. That's sponsored by Busy Organic Cold Brew. Smokin' Jay Cutler going up against Tristan. Who do you have if you had to pick, Daniel?
Sausage season is over. Johnsonville Chump is out. Smokin' Jay Cutler's in.
Smokin' Jay Cutler's in. You know, someone else that was smoking was Osama bin Laden. He wasn't just killed by SEAL Team 6. There were 5 other teams. But what happened to SEAL Teams 1 through 5? How did they get out? What did we never hear about from them? It's because they were coded in null pink, completely invisible. And the CIA has been placing null pink operatives in every crisis center around the world for the last 30 years. They're invisible specters walking among us. The next time you feel that tingling sensation, though someone is in the room with you, it's because they are. Null pink operatives are notoriously silent, watching civilians while they eat and sleep. Enjoy every taste of Busy Organic Cold Brew, because the next sip of Busy Organic Cold Brew you take may be your very last.
And that takes us to our 6-11 matchup, Vampire League's Bonafex Trees versus the number 11 seed Sandusky Shower. You know, Kyle made a return to the chat. He was more interactive in the league than we've seen in quite a while. But if we want to talk about teams we haven't seen this active in a while, Bonafex Trees, Quinn, I'm proud of it. You made the playoffs, number 1 overall seed. You said that your commitment to the podcast was affecting your performance in the league, but we proved this year that that's not true. On average, 1 podcast per week.
Yeah.
Quinn, how can you produce on average 2 wins per week over the next 3 weeks, securing you a place in the final of both the Super League and the Vampire League?
Well, I got to tell you, Daniel, I was outplayed by Kurt this last week. You know, no excuses. I was trying to do my best, doing some work, enjoying watching football, and I was just in a zone and did not make that final check before Sunday Night Football because I was kind of down pat. I had considered the same move that Kurt made. I mean, anybody would. Everybody here is smart, and if you're listening to this podcast because you're a great person, you're a genius.
Derek.
Yeah.
But Sam.
It's the idea to pull the trigger or not. At that point, I wanted to see. So without Kurt making the first move, I was going to respond. But I just didn't watch the radar enough and let it slide. And then after the games had started, my teams and my players had started in the evening matchups. And Kurt had pulled his. So he was going to be able to watch my teams outscore him and take the win, thereby giving him an easier play in the Vampire League, because of some situations on Zach's team. So for me, I come in facing the number 4 seed in the Vampire League. That's Mr. Solo Dolo himself. Like we talked earlier, it's going to be a close one. I got to put it together for 2 weeks. Everybody's looking at injuries in the Vampire League. You know, I don't think there's any playoff team that doesn't have an injury. Maybe Kurt doesn't. We'd have to look into that, but it's possible.
It's the circus, man. Yeah. Everybody's trying to not go home.
Exactly. Who's going to stay healthy here? So last year, Daniel, I was the 11th seed. I was the 11th seed in this matchup. This year, I'm the 6th seed. So I'm hoping I can get there and, you know, make some huff. But we'll see what Kyle puts together this week.
So I've got to ask you something. The big takeaway I've got taking a look at these two rosters is that we've got the Vampire Killer on both sides of the table. Tyreek Hill sits as wide receiver one for Kyle Russell. He also sits as your top wide receiver.
Oh, that's any, so great.
Do you have any concern about that being canceled out? Do you have any concern about the points being negated or a wash there and having to rely on other people in your roster?
Ooh, it'll be really interesting if the PPR to half PPR, if he scores a bunch of points or whatnot from receptions and has that half point every time better in the Vampire League. It'd be interesting if the coefficient catches up and evens out that scoring or not. So let's say this, Daniel. How about this? For a nice experiment, let's take a look at that Tyreek Hill score next week from the Bonafex Trees and the Sandusky Shower matchup, and we'll just line it up. Because what we can do is we can take the Tyreek Hill score, right, and we can multiply it times the coefficient and find what that would be. And if it equals the same score as what he got in the Vampire League, I'd be thrilled. I don't know at all what'll happen. So let's find out.
Look at this guy. He's going to be solving math problems on chalkboards and Harvard Yard in no time.
All right, Daniel, so let's move over. That takes us over to the 7 versus the 10 matchup. That includes you, Daniel, the Vampire.
Big matchup.
Yeah, underdog of the year, losing record, 6-8 in the Vampire League, going up against the number 4 in the league. That's Jay Moneybags. Jay Moneybags finds himself in the playoffs again this year. I mean, the guy has just turned it around so fast.
Doesn't quit.
Last couple years. Yeah, he's a good friend. Good. Of the podcast, and this week he goes up against Andy Spirehouse. Yeah, so it's a 4 versus 5 seed in the Ray Lewis League. Right now, Jay Moneybags put up 17 points this Thursday because he played the backup running back for the Raiders, Zamir White, over Josh Jacobs, who was injured. That's one of the great plays. He's got Josh Jacobs on his bench, so obviously he was aware that Josh was hurting. So to get White and get him in the mix is amazing. 17 points from him. Daniel, it's a 110 to 108 projection for Andy over Jay Money.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a real slick move. Yeah. A bold move. You know, the Raiders offense has kind of sputtered for most of the season before tonight. So to take a flyer on Josh Jacobs' backup running back, I think for a round one playoff matchup, it's a ballsy move. But it looks like it might be the difference in what you described perfectly. It's a super tight matchup between Money and Siren House. That could be the difference now as Jay Moneybags gets a sleeper advantage of 4 points as we head into the weekend. So you got to know that it hurt for Andy to watch that outcome play out tonight. And as it pertains to the Super League, since the Vampire League expanded to 8 teams last year, Kurt went 5-9 as the Vampire. This year, I improved that record by 1 game, 6-8. But We used to really fear the Vampire back in the day, and I'm trying to establish that culture again before I pass on the baton. And I think the only way to do that is just to leave fucking scorched earth throughout this Super League tournament. So I did miss a chance to play Davante Adams this evening. Adams did secure enough to end up producing 24.1 points tonight. So we're going to have to make that up somewhere. But Vampire's currently projected for 142 points in standard PPR scoring. So I've got to hope that, say, we're giving Jay Moneybags projected for 117 plus a 7-point cushion. It's another 9 points or so. So at this moment, an adjusted projection is still in my favor. Just got to do the work come Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, Jay Moneybags ran with 17.7 points with Zamir White. For all you freaks over in the Vampire League, think about that as about 18.78 points in the Vampire. scoring. So, you know, two of his catches, or, you know, proverbial catches, he got that extra half point from the PPR. You know, that's kind of the idea of it. But 18 points in the Vampire League, 17 points in the Ray Lewis League from a running back this late in the season in the playoffs. I mean, you got to tip your hat to him.
So, chef's kiss.
Yeah. Great job there. Now it takes over our last matchup in the Super League Fatal Four-Way Tournament. It's two playoff teams, Daniel, from the Vampire and the Ray Lewis League. And Daniel, big. It's Garlic Jackson. He's the number two guy from all season. He had 9 wins in the Vampire League. You know, defeated you twice, correct?
Correct.
And, you know, just unscathed against the Vampire, came in, made a choice to lose that 9th game. He's probably going to win, so I'd kind of put him for 10. Just a great look at it. He's number 8 in the league of the Super League, and in number 9 spot is Hud the Stud over in the Ray Lewis League, Zach. Zach, like I said, he had the highest scoring in the Vampire League, and he is going up against Kurt in the Vampire League. Out a starting quarterback, because honestly, rookie mistake, he made a trade that I didn't think he needed to make at the time, where he traded away a quarterback, his secondary quarterback, said he'd go into the rest of the year with just one, and that was even before he played the Vampire. So he really put his neck out and it bit him. So to have a quarterback in this playoffs might be, honestly, like me, Daniel, I'm terrible at this game. So this might be one of his only chances to hit the Vampire League playoffs with a great matchup in a team that hasn't really been affected by the Vampire, because he also was 2-0 against you this year. It's incredible to see that he just made that decision, was without an extra quarterback. He lost Justin Herbert just last week to the broken finger for the rest of the year. And now he is without a quarterback in the Vampire League in the playoffs, going up against the number two man, Curtis Jackson. I've got Kurt winning and finding his way into the championship, unless it's an upset. But I could be wrong. Dana, what do you think about
the two possible outcomes?
Yeah. What do you think about Kurt and Zach in the Vampire League playoffs?
Kind of interesting parallels. Yeah. Hud the Stud the last week, the regular season, went up against myself in both leagues and emerged victorious. I've got a feeling the opposite thing's about to happen this next week. I've got a bad feeling he's going to go 0-2 against Curtis Jackson. Obviously, the Vampire League playoff is a 2-week matchup. Kurt pulled the slick maneuver, and I just don't see a scenario. He does not. I don't see a scenario unless Dak Prescott goes down, in which Hud stands any chance at all in this matchup. Although it's only a 20-point spread, which I guess is logical. You can pencil in a top quarterback for about 20. Just the impact of not seeing a quarterback in that starting lineup makes it feel like more of a 30-point margin.
Right.
So Kurt, I think, has got a real good shot to obviously get to the finals and have a shot at becoming another 2-time Vampire.
Yeah, and you know I personally went 2-2 over a 1-month span without a starting quarterback in my lineup when Justin Fields was out. So it is possible to get some wins, you know, in this league from getting touchdowns from your players and all that stuff. So Garlic Jackson comes into the Super League strong, ready to go. He's playing Z Hud from the other league, in the Ray Lewis League. He's number 6. It's our last matchup we're talking about. Zia's had a great season. He's the last player in to make the playoffs. He's the only matchup we haven't talked about that we have left to talk about today. And we've got about 2 minutes left in the podcast, is Chase and Z-Hud. It's the 3 seed versus the 6 seed in the Ray Lewis League. Chase is the 3 seed in both the Vampire and the Ray Lewis League. It's 117-104 projection. And Z-Hud came into the night, put in 6.3 points from Austin Eckler, who was just thumped in the butt by the Raiders tonight. Tell me, Daniel, who do you have going in this Z-Hud versus Chase matchup in the Ray Lewis League?
Yep. It pains me to say it, but I've got to take Chase over Z-Hud in this final matchup of the Super League. But it doesn't pain me to say that USDA Choice Trim Tri-Tip is on sale at Ralph's. Mouthwatering Tri-Tip is only $4.99 a pound with your Ralph's Club card. Ralph's, where your USD Choice Trim Tri-Tip Roast headquarters. USDA Choice Trim Tri-Tip Roast. It's what's for dinner. Let me tell you something else about choices, or lack thereof. Some of Noel Pink's had families who also had to become Null Pink operatives. It was too much of a risk to have wives and children snooping around, so the CIA indoctrinated them as operatives too. So now, anytime a new Null Pink is born, they are born directly into active duty status. And there are Null Pink babies spying on babies of various U.S. political adversaries around the globe as we speak. So the next time you hear somebody say, "Oh, they're as innocent as a baby," you might want to ask them what kind of baby they're talking about, because if it's a Null Pink baby, it's not that innocent.
Well, Daniel, it's been a great podcast. I just love having it with you here. It's going to be a big Super League championship, big Vampire Week 1, big Ray Lewis
big.
2. And, you know, as you know, when we end every podcast, we always say, no matter what kind of plug-in play spa you have in mind,
AquaRest.
AquaRest, as you covered. Whether it's the premium 154-person plug-and-play with the 12 stainless jets, ozone, and LED waterfall, or the elite 606-person plug-and-play with 29 stainless jets, ozone, and LED waterfall, or even the Daydream 4500 6-person 45-jet plug-and-play hot tub with waterfall, we are your one-stop shop for multi-jet 4- to 6-person plug-and-play spa. AquaRest, as you covered.